All right. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to our second semester of Staff Dev. So, second sem, first day high, traffic sa C5. Parang estudyante lang talaga yung peg. Ganyan talaga ang buhay. Para maalala nyo eh, kasi kinakalimutan nyo na yung mga noong unang panahon. Anyway, you have new binders because it's a new semester. So, I'd like to welcome all of you. Thank you for making it to our staff development. Pakilakasan yung mic, please. Hello, mic test. Ayan. Now, I just want to refresh you with regards to the house rules. Kasi syempre, parang feeling natin, ang tagal na, no? Tapos ngayon ulit tayo nagkita, parang nagkakahiyaan kayo ulit. Grade 1, ha? Parang kayong walang pinagsamahan nung first sem, ganon. Parang nadyadyahe, kausapin ko ba siya o hindi ko ba siya kausapin? Malalaki na kayo. A moving up day. Alright, rule number one is to always be on time. You all know that. I know some of you traveled for 2 hours, some for 3 hours, some are not yet here and still stuck in traffic and have been texting us for a while now since 8 o'clock. I don't know if I can make it. Absent na ba yun? So, may mga ganon. So, but I thank you for respecting our time. Thank you for respecting our time. And tama-tama, yun yung cue ni Mike Lalyave from Ortigas. Pero alam, Mike, dito ka na lang. Alam naman namin, super traffic C5. No? So, hindi naman kami, understanding naman kami. Our eyes are wide open naman. But thank you for giving it your best to really make it on time and being professional about our staff dev. We are all like that. And even our resource speakers, even if I'm not feeling well, I'm still here before 9 o'clock. Rule number 2 is don't be absent. It's a rule. Okay? It's a rule not to be absent. So, pag if you have something, if you have something like, for example, something set and all of that, kasi syempre, hindi nyo alam na like today pala yung start ng staff dev natin, you had something plans. Prior to that, send me an email, it's for approval. Okay, an email, not a Facebook message because you don't know when I do Facebook or it has to be formal. Okay, sabihan nyo ako, if you don't talk to me, it has to be formal and it's for approval. It's not for information, ha? Okay, hindi siya FYI, okay? But we're very understanding naman. It's just that we want you to respect what we have committed here, all right? Next, refrain from standing up during the sessions. Kasi we have regularly scheduled breaks. So if you can, just refrain from it para lang you can focus on the topics. And then, use of electronic devices during the sessions are not allowed. And then, participate, ask questions. And then, siguro pang-anim na to, stay bibo, okay? Hindi parang puro rules, parang hindi na kayo makamove forward. Kasi naisip nyo, will I break rule number 1 or rule number 2? The goal is to train. And the goal is to be trained, okay? So just enjoy and then just go with us through the journey of the staff there for second sem. So our goal is to train you and we're very committed to do that. I know everyone's busy, no one's busy. Pag in the ministry, you're not busy, dun ka lang magtataka. Kasi bakit ako hindi busy? Everyone is doing a lot of things, engaged and productive to do a lot of things. So it's the same with you and me and all of our resource speakers. But we are committed to be here, all right? And have this training. So I would like you also to enjoy it, all right? Kasi baka nakalimutan niya na yung mukha ko for staff. De, pinapaalala ko lang, may principal, okay? Yun lang naman ang goal noon kung bakit ko pinaulit. Kasi it's good to be refreshed, okay? We're very excited this morning, as we're always excited, to discuss our topic for the first topic for 2014 will be about faith and about finances. We all need this because we have a big God and we want to do a lot of things, but we want to set it right to have the right foundations in the beginning of the year. As you may have observed in staff dev, we're not just teaching you about management and spiritual side, but we also want to teach you practical aspects for your own personal development, okay? Our first speaker today is Pastor Jure Mora. He has been in full-time ministry, okay? So it's a treat, okay? For the last 21 years, okay? He served as the senior pastor of Victory Iloilo for 12 years and in Victory Bacolod for 3 years. Currently, he is the executive director for Victory Ministers Association. You know what VMA does? They oversee the development and training and general well-being of our vocational ministers in Victory. He oversees all the vocational ministers and Victory churches outside Metro Manila. He is also one of our bishops, one of the two bishops in Victory, Philippines. Okay? He's married to Miss Dea, and they are blessed with 6 children, TJ, Ia, Sophia, Juliana, Selena, and Raymond. What I cannot forget about Pastor Juray is, there was this one time that I attended Victory Ortigas, siguro mga 10 years ago, I attended Victory Ortigas with my sister. And then he preached a message that I couldn't forget because it was very timely for me. He said that the breakthroughs of God, the answer to your prayers, has always been set up. And his background was when the disciples were talking to Jesus about paying taxes to Caesar and then giving the tenth to the Lord. And then they got it from the fish they fished. So he was saying, yung fish na yun, paano nagkaroon ng coins yun? So ibig sabihin, from somewhere, lumunok muna siya ng coin, tapos lumangoy siya para by the time that they would fish, he's right there. So, and it's foundational in the way, in how I view God's provision. It's foundational for me, and I cannot forget it. So let's all welcome Pastor Juray Mora this morning.
Thank you, Karen. Nakakatakot pala yung principal niya. Thank you. This is an honor to be here. I'm not trying to find out who knows me, but I only have 2 hours. So I want to find out whether I can assume things and jump over a few things. So how many of you heard me a few times before? Okay, all. Anybody here hearing me for the first time? Wala naman. Okay, good. Thank you very much. So now at least I know I can assume a few things. If I assume wrong, then maybe you can ask questions. Since I only have 2 hours, I'm hoping to have at least a few minutes, 15 or more minutes for question and answers. Hopefully, since you've heard me also a few times, I'm sure I'm relying that you have some questions that I get a chance to answer so I can speak directly to whatever your need is or whatever you're thinking of, okay? I'm sorry I'm not here to train you. I'm here to challenge your thoughts. I'm here to para bulabugin yung paniniwala nyo, para guluhin ang buhay nyo, para guluhin ang pananaw nyo sa buhay. Hopefully, so that in the future, we can rearrange it according to what we see the Word of God is. So let's just pray right now. Lord, we thank you, Lord God, for this time together. Lord, I thank you, Lord God, for this faithful people that you have here, Lord, faithful workers, faithful children. Lord, we thank you, Lord God, that they're a blessing to us. Lord, they're a blessing to many. They're a blessing to your kingdom, Lord God. So we pray this morning, Lord God, that you would speak to us. You'd speak to them, Lord God, even beyond the words that I could share. Lord, that you would minister to them, Lord God, that you would reveal yourself more and more to them. In Jesus' name, amen. So I jump off from Romans chapter 4, verse 16. It says, therefore, the promise comes by faith so that it may be by grace and may be guaranteed to all Abraham's offspring. Not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham. He is the father of us all. And so it's clear here in the scripture. It says that God made promises. Okay. And not only did God make promises, God made promises to a specific people. So hindi lang to ano, hindi blanket promise to. It's targeted. It's specific. There's somebody who's supposed to get this promise. And then as you see here also that God guarantees the promise. So in other words, this is not just a flippant statement. Karen said we have 6 kids. And with 6 kids, as they're growing up, at least the older ones don't do it anymore. But when they're young, they push you to a corner to make promises. Yeah. Especially when they like things. You know, sometimes what I don't like about the mall is there's so many brochures. And sometimes when I see a brochure, I have to make sure I throw it away. because it can be used against you in your time of weakness. They'll get this. They'll show this. Dad, can I have this? And they don't care how much it costs. They don't care what's happening. They just, Dad, can I have this? And when I answer, we'll see, his immediate response is, promise. So para taka muna, iniipit mo ba ako? Sabi ko, we'll see. Promise? Tapos, when I tell Raymond, he's our youngest now, he's 7 years old, when I tell him, forget it, then later on he'll come back again. Dad, can I have this? And same response, we'll see, promise. And so many times, as people, we end up making promises beyond what we're capable of. I don't know what your experiences about promises are. I'm sure pare-pareho lang naman tayo dito. I'm sure there have been people who made promises to you to get out of trouble. Nangutang sa'yo, nag-promise magbayad, hindi makapagbayad. Sabi, so hinahabol mo, hey, kailangan ko na yan, kailangan. Sabi, bukas na babayaran kita para matapos lang, di ba? Tapos pag alis niya, alam mo, hindi na siya sisipot ulit. But here, God makes a promise. And a promise is only as good as the one who made the promise. See, if somebody who loans money from you and always is delayed in paying you, when he makes a promise, it's worth nothing, isn't it? But when it's somebody who's very faithful with the promises, it's worth something. And sometimes the promise stirs up things in our lives. I remember growing up, I have an older brother who's 1 year older, and I have a younger sister. Some of you have met my sister. She works with our church in Bacolod. But my brother and myself were rivals most of our life. Why? We're rivals in everything, from schoolwork to sports. My dad set it up to, in a sense, to motivate us to do better. So one of the things sometimes my dad would do, he'd buy one thing, and whoever is better in certain things gets this. So we grew up like this. But you know, and my dad would make promises, all right, whoever does well here, I promise you're going to get this. Now, I didn't like the work involved. But what it did to me is it gave me hope. Why? Because something that was impossible for me has been transferred to the realm of the possible. You understand? Kasi kung allowance ko lang, hindi talaga mangyayari. Kahit kukunin ko na yung Christmas gift ko, birthday gift, for the next 5 years, hindi talaga mangyayari. But when my dad says, whoever does better at this, gets this, I don't like the work involved. Ibig sabihin yan, if it's about academics, it means I have to study more, I have to be more on time with my work, I don't like the work. If it's sports, I have to train more, I don't like the work. But what it does to me, what it did to me, was it got what was seemingly impossible for me and transferred it to the realm of the possible. And when I realized that, it motivated me to go do something. And you know, sometimes, many times as people of God, we don't have a problem in believing that God is able. Lahat naman tayo, we believe in a God who is extremely able. More than able. We believe in His power. We believe He can change things. We believe He goes beyond nature. Our biggest problem is whether it's possible for me. We can always find reasons why God will do it for others. But in the same vein, we always find reasons why God won't do it for us. If you're a normal person like me, you probably go through this. There's always a reason why. You can understand, yes, of course, God will do it for Bishop Manny. He's the bishop for God's sake. So, you know what I mean? He prays when you listen to him and he talks about his prayer life. Man, I think he doesn't do anything anymore but pray. And you feel convicted and you feel heavy and said, no wonder God answers his prayer. And now you, instead of getting encouraged, sometimes you get discouraged. Kaya pala, hindi sinasagot ni Lord yung prayer ko. We always can find reasons why God won't do it for us. I do hope in the next few 2 hours we're here together, I hope that will change. Because the promise is only as good as the one who makes the promise. And many of us know the promises of God, but our greatest struggle is who is God. Not that we don't know Him. We know facts about Him. I'm excited about this Sunday. We have a new series there. And this week is, who do you say that I am? You can gather facts about God, what other people say about Him, and you can put it in your brain that this is who God is. But in reality, who is God for you? And that's where many of us struggle with our relationship with God. So let's jump off into that. And just looking at who God is. Some of you have heard me say this already, so, but we'll just go through it. Psalm 145, verse 7 to 9. It says, they will celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all He has made. So it declares here, it talks here, it describes who God is here. Okay? And a few words he uses, the psalmist uses to describe God. And the first word he says, God is gracious. Now, what does gracious mean? Gracious means He is disposed to show favor. Wow. That's who God is. You don't have to earn His favor. He is disposed to show favor. In other words, his immediate reaction is favor. But why is it in our image, His immediate reaction is to check whether you're naughty or nice? Hello. His immediate reaction, the moment you pray, have you ever prayed before that you felt like your prayer just got there, never went past the ceiling? That is a lie from the devil. Why? Because God's immediate reaction towards you is favor. You don't have to earn the favor of God. You don't even have to ask the favor of God. You don't have to plead the favor of God. His immediate reaction is to show you favor. My third child, Sophia, she's our second daughter. When she was growing up, she sang everything. She went through a stage where she sang everything. When she tells you a story, she'll sing it. When she asks permission, she'll sing it. Now you can imagine how that looks like at home. And I'll tell you, she did not have, I'll be kind, she did not have the best voice. But you know, today, my wife and myself, sometimes we talk about it. And it brings amazing memories. And we enjoy thinking about it. In fact, there were times we enjoyed listening to it. It was her siblings who were saying, stop! Why? Because she had a great voice? No. Because she was my daughter. I am disposed to show her favor. I will have to be challenged. I will have to go through something major to change my disposition of favor towards my children. I'm not saying it doesn't disappear. I'm sure if you're a parent here, you know how it is sometimes when your kids get you really mad. But your immediate reaction is to show favor. They don't have to earn anything. When another example, when a baby comes, the baby doesn't do anything but give more work. We make fun of the young couples here. Once they have a baby, one of the first questions after a week, 2 weeks from the hospital, kamusta tulog mo? Sleepless nights na, wala na. Goodbye to nice, straight, peaceful sleep for a few years at least. Diba? They don't do anything but give you more work. But it's amazing what parents do to children. Why? They're disposed to show favor. My kids don't get what they get because they're amazingly excellent. Although I appreciate every time it's a report card time and I look at their grades and when they go down and everything. And I remember one time that the grades of my kids went down and I was thinking, what's wrong and everything. And the Lord just reminded me, even if their grades went down, they're far better than where you came from. I said, all right, Lord, I thank you. I realized, amen. Disposed to show favor. gracious. The problem with trying to earn with God's favor is you're never perfect. You will always blow it. And the problem with that is, even by some miracle, let's say you are an amazing person. So by some miracle, from today till you die, you never sin again. What will you do with the mistakes and the sin in the past? If you can earn favor, you won't get it anyway. One of the amazing things that God dealt with our hearts, with my heart and my wife's heart, was to get us to a place where we settled it in our hearts. There is no way, there is nothing I can do to earn God's favor. Friends, there is not, with us here, every one of us here in the room and everyone out there is nothing in our lives that can make us deserve God's blessing more than any of us here. We are in this in the same way. And the only reason that we get anything from God is because He's gracious. Why does faith work? Because God is gracious. Why does God bless His people? Because God is gracious. Says He's gracious. Secondly, God is compassionate, it says here. Now, I asked, what does compassion mean, or compassionate mean? It means this: to have so much mercy and tenderness for someone else that it actually causes pain. It is the deepest desire to show love and goodness. Wow! Isn't that the story of Christ? To have so much love over someone that it actually cost him pain. Actually cost him pain. He loved us so much that it cost him pain. I run across a truth in the last few weeks that has changed the way I see the love of God. And he says this: unconditional love is not based on the merit of the one receiving it, but based on the nature of the one giving it. Unconditional love is not based on the merit of the one receiving it, but it's totally based on the good nature of the one giving it. Why is God's love unconditional? Because it's not based on us. It's really His nature. The moment God stops being love, His nature changes. Psalm 78, verse 38, he says, "Yet He was merciful, He forgave their iniquities and did not destroy them." You make a mistake, you repent, what does God do? He forgives. He is faithful and just to forgive them, the Bible says. In fact, you can read great men of God in the scripture, and you can describe them this way. All the great men of God in the scripture are restored men of God. In other words, they blew it big time, but God forgave them and restored them. Amazingly, when God restores, many times He restores in a way that there's no trace of the past whatsoever. I'm amazed. There's this couple that I admire. They're not part of our ministry, but we've gotten to know them the years before. They're no longer here. But they did a lot of marriage seminars for us and marriage trainings in the past. And when you look at them, you see, wow, what an amazing couple. You think, man, their marriage was from the very beginning. It was perfect. Only to find out that at one point in their life, the wife wanted to kill the husband and actually pulled out a gun ready to shoot her husband. But when you see them today, you'll be so amazed with their marriage. Why? Because when God forgives and God restores, He restores better than ever. Tayo mga tao, minsan we want the mark of the past so that the person doesn't forget where he came from. Di ba? Parang pag nagkamali yung tao, parang dibdibin mo naman yung pagkakamali mo, di ba? But with God, it's no problem. How many people do we know? How many people in our ministry today? I'm still shocked once in a while. I see these people and they tell me, alam mo ba si ano yan? Ganito yan before. And you look at them, parang wow. I was in one of our churches in the province. And there's this guy I'm talking. He was a drug dealer. And got jailed. And his money was able to pull him out. He got saved. Turned everything around. And he was telling his story. And the amazing thing is, the police colonel who picked him up is already in the church. And his supplier is also in the church. And his distributor is also in the church. Nagkita-kita sila. Born again na sila. Pero tayo, wala tayong alam na ganun sila. And I've known these people for a few years now. Late last year ko lang nalaman, or early this year ko lang nalaman na ganun pala sila. This friend of mine was telling, alam mo ba yung ganyan-ganyan? Ha? And you're going out in confidence, parang alam mo, parang anghel, hindi mo pala alam. Hindi pala nito. That's what God does. You talk about David. A man after God's own heart. Who is David? David's a restored man. Murderer, adulterer. Abraham, father of the faith. Restored man. Twice, he was willing for his wife to get raped for his sake. They went to town and he tells the king, kapatid ko, yung king, ire-rape na. Kukunin niya na, in love yung king sa asawa niya, asawa ko na to. May gagawin niya, if the angel did not show up, wag mo galawin yan. Asawa ni Abraham yan. Yung king, bumalik kay Abraham. Ano ka ba? Akala ko ba kapatid mo? Buti na lang sumipot yung angel. Kung hindi, nagkasala na ako. Abraham, who else do you, Elijah, this great prophet who calls fire down from heaven, threatened by a woman, he runs away and he tells God, God, bakit pa ako nandito sa mundo? Sana hindi na lang ako pinanganak. Great man of God. Who else? Who else do you know? All restored men and women. God is compassion. Love covers a multitude of sins in 1 Peter. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 21. Yet this I call to mind. Therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. His compassions never fail. He never runs out of patience. Tayo lang ho yun. I'm sure you've been in a place where sandali na lang, konti na lang, sasabog ka na. But you know, God never gets to that place. His compassions are new every morning. Now, I'm about to say a very controversial statement, but I want you to think about it more than, please don't tweet this. Don't put it in Facebook, but think about this. You can even call to God in the midst of your sin, and God will hear. Now, we don't want to think that, but friends, that's who God. How many people have called out to God in the midst of their sin? Samson, in the midst of his sin, cries out. The prodigal son, in the midst of his sin, says, my father has better ways. And he goes back. And think about this. The Bible says that the father was waiting. When he was from a distance, the father ran away. Think about this. The son was at the point of his worst. But the father's love never, the value of the son never changed in the eyes of the father. That's why when you look at the story, the title of the story is Prodigal Son. Right? The question really is, who's the real prodigal? Prodigal means extremely extravagant. Who's the prodigal? It's the father. Because no sin was too bad for his love covering. God is good to all, the scripture we said. Do you realize that? God is good to all, to the sinner, to the Christians. God is good to all, to the good, the bad, and the ugly. God is good to all. That's why we can all breathe. That's why there's what they call common grace. Why? Because it's the goodness of God. God is good to all. You don't see somebody sitting here, you're riding the MRT, and there's a pickpocket, and he grabs your phone, and the moment he runs, he's bad. God just removes oxygen from him. And he goes, and he falls. You don't see that. Because in the midst of that wickedness, in the midst of that evil, God gives them a chance. If God was not good to all, we wouldn't be here. God is faithful. Psalm 119, verse 89. Your word, O Lord, is eternal. It stands firm in the heavens. Your faithfulness continues through all generations. You establish the earth and it endures. You never, there has never been and never will be a generation that has failed to see God's faithfulness. Bible says that all the promises of God, when Israel finally got into the promised land, it declares that all the promises of God has been fulfilled. All the promises of God. In fact, you can, in a sense, read the scripture, look at the scripture in a manner like this. That the scripture is the story of man's unfaithfulness, confronted by God's faithfulness. If somebody's unfaithful to you, what will your ultimate reaction be? You'll forgive once, you'll forgive twice. You'll forgive after a while, then after a while you say, this is crazy. I'm not stupid. I'm going to walk away. But when you read scripture, you find out that God never walked away. Never walked away. When man was in the midst of his unfaithfulness, when man was in the midst of his sin, God confronted man's sin by his faithfulness. God didn't ask for proof. God did not ask for a sign that man will change. God didn't walk out and says, I have been working this. God didn't say, I've been working this, setting up the time to send the Savior to you. And this is what you give me? In fact, when Jesus came, man was at the height of its rebellion. So much so, it was man who put Jesus on the cross. When Jesus died on the cross, he didn't die on the cross just so that he can fulfill his role. He died on the cross because of man's hatred. Jesus didn't come and say, all right, it's my time to die. All right, guys, come here, put me in the cross. Man put them here, put him there. Another statement that changed the way I see things. We all know that God died for sinful man, right? Jesus died for sinful man. We also believe that Jesus died for our sins, right? But somebody put it this way, a little change that changed everything for me. And he said, Jesus died on the cross for my sins against him. I wasn't just a bad man doing bad things. I was a bad man doing bad things against Jesus. Jesus didn't die for my sins for mocking others. Jesus died for my sins for mocking him. It changed everything for me. Because sometimes we kind of look at others, well, si Mike, noon born again si Mike, nag-drop ang crime rate sa Manila. Ako, hindi. Nobody knew I got born. In fact, when I got born again, people say, si Jure, good boy naman talaga yan. For many years, walang power yung testimony ko sa relatives ko. Kasi, si Jure, good boy yan. Hindi nila alam yung mga ginagawa ko. Ngayon lang nila nalaman, kinukwento ng kapatid ko yung mga ginagawa ko. And they're shocked that I did it. But my image before was... And sometimes we look at others, but friends, Jesus died on the cross for our sins, thrown against him. He is faithful. He is faithful. We serve an amazingly good God. Lastly, God is our Father. I believe this is the greatest revelation of God in the Scripture, especially in the New Testament. Galatians chapter 4, verse 1 to 7. I'm not sure if I have it there. I just added this sometime recently. Galatians chapter 4, 1 to 7. If you have your Bible, you can take a look at it. It says, what I'm saying, as long as an heir is underage, he is no different from a slave. And although he owns the whole estate, the heir is subject to guardians and trustees until the time set by his father. So also when we were underage, we were in slavery under the elemental spiritual forces of the world. But when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Because you are His sons, God sent His Spirit to His Son into our hearts. The Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are His child, God has also made you an heir. So it's saying here that it talks about different things. It says that at a certain time, a slave and a son, there's no difference. In the fact that if the father or the master gives the slave the authority to do things, then the slave can do it. On the other hand, when the child is young, he works under the authority of the father. And he can only do things based on the authority given by the father, right? But he said, but when the time had fully come, when was that time? When Jesus came on the cross, to die on the cross. When the time had fully come, he said, things change. Why? Because the slave remains a slave, but the son becomes an heir. In other words, the son is now the boss. And many times, friends, the struggle with Christianity is so many Christians remain thinking like slaves and can never move to thinking like sons. You work in an office. You do a lot of admin work. And it's very clear to you, you have a boss. And sometimes, I want to encourage you with this. Sometimes the picture of God being the master and we being the servant can be very strong. But I want to encourage you with this. God is not just your master. He is your father. And you are not just a servant. You are a child. There's a major difference. When I give my children money as they're growing up, when I give them money, and because they want to buy something, Dad, can I buy this? I'm going to go to the mall. I need to buy this. And hang out with my friends or things like that. I said, all right, I'll give them a certain amount. When they get back home, sometimes I do an accounting. So what did you buy? How much did you spend? How much is left? My whole goal for the accounting is not to get my money's worth. My goal is not to find out if he's tricking me or not. My goal is to teach him to be wise with money. But if I send somebody who's working for me to go buy something, when they come back and I ask them how much, what did you buy, my goal is to find out if I got my money's worth. Because I'm not training them to be my children. There's a world of difference when you realize when God deals with you as a child and when God deals with you as a servant. You're not being dealt with so that God gets the most out of His money. You're being dealt with because God is setting you up. Friends, this is a family business. In other words, the money you spend is actually yours as well. Why? Because it comes from your father. And when God deals with us, it's because He's setting you up for something bigger, not trying to get His money's worth. You know, God's not affected by sale. Tayo lang ho yun. In fact, yung sale panira sa budget yan, di ba? Kahit hindi mo kailangan, dahil lang 70% off. Ngayon lang to. Pag hindi pa, pag bukas, wala nang chance. This will just remain a dream. Bibilin mo. Nasira yung budget. You know, God's not affected by it. But God will deal with us. Not because He wants to get His money's worth. But because you're His child. And there's more that has been set aside for you. Then the scripture we read said something. When the time had fully come, He adopted you. He brought in the spirit of adoption. Now, adoption in our culture can be very uncomfortable. We don't like to talk about it. Growing up, I remember in grade school, we had a classmate who we thought was adopted. I can't remember anymore if we confirmed it or not. But because we thought he was adopted, we were quite uncomfortable about it when he's around. We're very careful. We're very, we don't say anything. As much as possible, we don't talk about our mom and our dad. Because we're uncomfortable with him because he's adopted. The only time we're not uncomfortable, pag inis kami sa kanya, we didiin ng mga kaibigan mo. Ay, ano ka lang, hindi ka naman totoong anak. And this friend of ours would cry. Adoption is very uncomfortable in our culture. But the Bible says that God adopted us. And when you realize why, it will change you. You know the amazing thing about adoption? Adoption means you were chosen. Because if you're a natural child, you came from the expression of love between the father and the mother. And whatever came out, that's our child. But with adoption, you actually look at the child and say yes or no. So when God says you were adopted, you were chosen. You were chosen by God. Another thing about adoption, somebody a couple who adopts someone ends up getting a longing and a prayer answered. I'm sure you have friends who have adopted children. Somebody, especially those who have been married for 10 years or more and had no children, then finally they get a child. It's amazing. When you look at their faces, I was excited a few days ago because one of our pastors who've been married for a while now, I think more than 10 years, close to 15 with his wife, never had a child. And just the other day, I saw on Facebook, they already have a baby. So they're adopting. And you should see the smiles in their faces. Why? Because that's adoption. You are an answer to someone's longing. Somebody's been praying. Somebody's been longing. Somebody's been asking for a child. Finally, you arrive. That's the power of adoption. You're chosen. You're an answer to someone's prayer. The other thing about adoption I learned this from one of our pastors. He can't have children. Now he has 3 children. The last one he had was the youngest. Was somebody, a child, who a few couples looked at and said no. And this pastor friend and one of our pastors in the province looked at his wife and said, somebody has to stop the rejection. Somebody has to take the responsibility to stop the rejection. So before they saw the child, on the way to Manila, they settled it in their hearts as husband and wife, we will stop the rejection. So when they called the contact, they told the contact, game na. Contact said, are you sure? You don't want to see it? Tama na. Pinagpapasapasahan na yan. Tama na. And they took the child with them. Adoption. We went through life trying to belong to different groups, to different friends, to different people. And we experienced rejection after rejection. We were only as good as our last performance. But when Jesus came, the rejection stopped. No matter before you perform, you were accepted. And it was settled. The other thing about adoption is somebody takes the risk of an unknown future. How many people do you know have adopted only to find a medical nightmare a few years later? Because they don't know the past. They don't know the history. And they end up in the hospital with hospital bills piling up one after the other. But they're facing it with joy. They're facing it with, they're not giving up. Because somebody has taken the responsibility to face the future. I have a friend today, his son at the age of 13 is going through some difficult times, a stage of rebellion, and they're clashing as father and son, mom, and they've been trying to get help from a professional, and the professional was giving them hope, these things will change, we can work, we can see this change, but he said, just be ready, I don't know how long this will take, because she said this, because we don't know the past he came from. Yet he faced it. He's not complaining. He's, you wouldn't even hear, balik ko na lang to sa nanay. Adoption. The Bible says, we were adopted into the family of God. You know, one of the things I learned in the years past so far, you don't earn prosperity. You're born into it. You're born into it. Now, I'm not saying you don't earn money. What I'm saying is you don't earn prosperity. So now we looked at God, the one who made the promise. The next question is, who made the promise? Where do you find the promises? Where do you find the promises? In the Word of God. You know, I realized that the Word of God is the promise of God. It is the will of God, and it is the plan of God. When you find something in the Word of God that's not true in your life, it's something that God's working out. Hey, Pastor Paul. Good to see you. Welcome back. So the promises of God are in the Scripture. That's why I encourage people to read the Scripture. To read, find out what the promises of God are. So many times it's sad when Christians don't know what the Word of God says and make conclusions and make decisions based on what they think is right without knowing what the Scripture says. We make statements thinking God said it, but in reality, God didn't say it. How many Christians have I met who once in a while quotes, God helps those who help themselves? Have you heard that before? And I have to tell them, that is not in the Bible. That's a nice religious quote, but that is not in the Bible. If you look at the Bible, it probably teaches it this way. God helps those who ask help. Not the one who helps themselves. Now, I'm not saying be lazy. What I'm saying is trust God as you work hard. So what does the Scripture say? I would encourage you as you go on with your relationship with God, to add a question as you process things in your life. And the question is this: what does the Word of God say? What does the Word of God say? Don't just get everything. What's the reality that you're in? What's your situation? What do other people say? But don't forget to ask the question, what does the Word of God say? I'll end with a story before we take a break. My son, he's 23 years old already. And when he was in grade school, he was about to go to high school. We were looking for different schools for him. So we asked him, where do you want to go to high school? So we looked at different, but we planned for him to take a lot of entrance tests so that we have choices. And he said, I want to go to Ateneo. I said, he looked at me, no offense, Dad, because he knows I'm from La Salle. So no offense taken, sure. You can go to the second class is just as good as first class. Anyway, no, I'm just kidding. But so he tells me that. I said, all right. So he took the entrance test. So when he took the entrance test in Ateneo, my wife and myself walked around. So I don't get a chance to walk around Ateneo very much. So we walked around, we looked at it, and it's a really, really nice campus, especially if you compare it to De La Salle in Taft Avenue, okay? So it's really nice. So we walked around in the high school, and we went to the admissions, and we started asking. And one of the questions we asked, how much is the tuition fee? So he's 23 years old, so this was years ago, okay? Probably 10 years ago. And they told us, sir, $90,000. A year. And my wife and myself looked at the woman we were talking to. Thank you very much. And we walked out and we were smiling at each other. $90,000 a year. 10% a year. How much is that? But we stop and we ask the question, what does the Word of God say? Before making a decision, before sulking, before drinking everything of the reality, we asked the question, what does the Word of God say? And we started talking about the Word of God. My God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in glory. Bible says, sow sparingly, reap sparingly. Sow generously, reap generously. We started talking about the Word of God. We realized we need to start sowing for the tuition fee of our children. So we started looking, we started asking, Lord, where can we sow to help somebody finish their studies as we believe you for the studies of our children? So we looked around. That's why real life has been a major part in our lives for the last how many years? Why? Because it's one place that we believe God, that as we sow, we're believing God to provide for our children. And sure enough, when the year ended, my son got a scholarship for high school. Not in Ateneo, but in the school that he was really, where his mom and himself was really wanted. He ended up in Philippine Science High School with a scholarship and an allowance. You can never outgive God. So don't just make decisions based on what you see. Bring back the Word of God and say, Lord, what does your Word mean?